Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Iskan Bibiti Vandra Charya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachari Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premzi Goh Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopagopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tumuna Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai, Brihat Madangi Ki Jai, Texas Krishna's Ki Jai, Shishi Radhakalatandri Ki Jai, Shishi Jagannath Baladev Sibhadra Ki Jai, Shishi Gauranitai Ki Jai, Samaviti Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Bo, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, Sri Sri Guru and Karam Jai Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, canto 7. Chapter is entitled, Lord Nrisingadev Slays the King of the Demons. And my throat's a little messy today, so hopefully you can still understand. I will be sneezing a lot and taking advantage of the modern invention of Kleenex, so forgive me for my rudeness there. So it's because it's a new chapter, there's a couple page introduction, so I'll read this first and then we'll go on to the text. Actually, this is a trick to keep you all awake. You start falling asleep, I'll do that more often. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrikeshari, half lion and half man, and killed him. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Sunda and Umarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under Him, and that no one is equal to or greater than Him. Thus, he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, half lion and half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all of the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pitas, the Siddhas, the Vijayadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. Lord Nrisimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So text one, it's on the board here. Sri Narada Uvacha Atta Daityasuta Sarve Jagrihur Niravadyatvam. That's right, it's just artistically done. Jagrihur. It's a G. Oh, the line before? Shudva Tad Anuvarnitam. That's a Shudva. He didn't.
You didn't say it.
I didn't say it. Oh. I missed the line? My cold is causing delusions. Let's turn. Shudva tad anuvarnitam jagrihor niravadyatvam naiva puru anushikitam Srinara uvacha atadaicha sutta sarve Shudva tad anuvarnitam Jagrihor niravadyatvam Naiva guruva nusikshitam Na Shri Narada uvacha Atadaicha sutta sarve Shudva tad anuvarnitam Jagrihor niravadyatvam Naiva guruvasansikshitam Word meanings. Sri Narada uvacha Sri Narada Muni said Hata Thereupon, Daitya Sutta, the sons of the demons, the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, Sarve, all, Shrutva, hearing, Tat, by him, Prahlad, Anuvarnitam, the statements about devotional life, Jagrihu, accepted. Niravadyavat, due to the supreme utility of that instruction. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Guru, anushikshitam, that which was taught by their teachers. Translation. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shunda and Amarka. So please repeat. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Sanna and Amarka. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25, Satam Prasan excuse me. Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Samvido Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Kataha. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the Sat or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Om gyanatam yanda shajanan anjana shalakaya chakshur umnitamena tasmaye shri gurave namaha shri titanimano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaur bhaktavrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram 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 hare hare. So here, in the purport especially, Prabhupada is using the opportunity of this text to explain to us and to elaborate. Actually, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam we understand that if the speaker and the hearer are qualified in the spiritual exchange, then the full effect of the spiritual discourse can take effect. The cleansing of the heart is there, and gradually one awakens love of Godhead. So here in today's verse, Prabhupada is explaining some of the qualifications of both the speaker and the hearer. How Prahlad Maharaj, because he was qualified to present the transcendental knowledge, and because his demoniac friends also had similar, not similar, but they had their own required or pre-required qualifications, therefore the effect was there. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he explains, he uses these terms. He says that because one who's speaking transcendental knowledge is, if a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious, those three things. If one is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of his guru, of the bona fide spiritual master, then the preaching is effective. So, tips for us. If we want our preaching to be effective, we need to be qualified, sincere, serious, and follow carefully the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. He also explains that the students were able to take full advantage because they were, first of all, trying to hear. They were trying to hear from Prahlad Maharaj. And then Prabhupada mentions that thus it became pleasing to them and appealing to their heart. And in this way, they became inspired to take to Krishna consciousness. They practice the process of Krishna consciousness, and he says, thus, one is surely successful in returning back to Godhead. So if the speaker is, one who is transmitting the spiritual knowledge, is qualified, sincere, serious, and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, following the instructions of his or her spiritual master, if the listener is trying to hear and then becomes inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, practices the process, then success will be there in the transmission and ultimately successful in going back to Godhead. And also in the purport, Prabhupada quotes a very beautiful verse spoken by Lord Kapiladeva to his mother, 325. I'll read the translation in some or most of the purport, where it's described more detail the potency and the effect of this association. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed, then real devotion and devotional service begins. Purport. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. Because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood, they cannot make advancement. Even by reading Srimad Bhagavatam or other Vedic literatures, they think these activities are fictional. Prabhupada continues, to understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees. And by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand, again, just like he's saying, the sons of the demon, they were trying to hear. So one tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path to liberation is open. So by seeking out that association and trying to hear, trying to understand, the path to liberation is open, and he is freed. Freed, become free. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of God, it becomes fixed, and his attraction for association with the Lord and the devotees increases. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, then being situated in transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. So here we're seeing how, despite the difficulties of their situation, both for Prahlad Maharaj and for his fellow students, the teachers are trying to stop their Krishna consciousness. They're trying to force them into very materialistic, demoniac consciousness. They've got to talk when the teachers go out of the room. They're kind of like sneaking their practice. But despite all of those difficulties, because Prahlad Maharaj is qualified, and because they have the appropriate qualifications, therefore the effect is there. The demon sons, it's described, they didn't like to hear their teachers. Prabhupada makes that point. They didn't like to hear the stuff their teachers were telling them. They like to hear Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada says this, here we see the effect. Their hearts were changed, and as their hearts were changed, their taste changed. They wanted to hear. They wanted to associate more and more with Prahlad, and they wanted to give up the association of the materialistic teachers. So in the verse, it specifically mentions all of the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions. And it's interesting, in the word for word, it's translated as due to the supreme utility of that instruction. So they were understanding the benefit. They developed a taste for it, and they were also understanding the benefit of that. So the sons of the demons, they kind of typify, this typifies and explains in detail the process of changing people's hearts, changing people's taste. The sons of the demons originally, it's not described in detail, but we can understand to one extent or the other, they're little kids, their teachers are setting the example, their parents are setting the example, and they're just kind of following along. They've got certain patterns of behavior. They're just kind of like soaking it all up. But by the association of Prahlad Maharaj, he's giving them an option, and by that option, they are, as described, they're losing their taste to hear from their demoniac teachers. They're gaining the taste to hear from Prahlad Maharaj. In short, they're choosing to become Krishna conscious. He's giving them an option, and they're choosing it. Later, we heard in the later in this story, and we heard in the introduction, Prahlad Maharaj did the same thing with his father. My dear father, he felt, as described here in the introduction, Prabhupada says, he became so angry, Prahlad fell at his feet. Right, like the little diorama outside, Lord Nityananda falling at the feet of Jagai Madai, please chant, you know, Haridas Thakur, please, they're falling at people's feet, whatever it takes, please chant. They're asking them. But when Prahlad Maharaj asked his father very nicely, he didn't want to hear it. When he gave him good instructions, he didn't want to hear it. He made the wrong choice. He had the choice, but he made the wrong choice. But the sons of the demons, for different reasons, they had the same situation, the same speaker. They weren't ready to hear. They didn't try to understand. But because the sons tried to understand, their hearts were changed, their tastes changed, and they were able to make this choice. So they accepted the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj and rejected the materialistic choice. So in our preaching, we are following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and all of our acharyas. Here Narada Muni is describing the story about Prahlad Maharaj. We're following the footsteps of Narada Muni. We're following the footsteps of Lord Kapiladeva. We're following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. We also, in our preaching, we are really trying to, the essence of what we're trying to do is give people a choice. Really. And of course, choice is such a popular thing these days. They twist it to endorse a lot of very abominable activities, but they often do so. You know, the whole abortion movement, when they turned the whole national consciousness around largely in the 70s when they marketed it different and they advocated, this is your choice. They kind of took away the question of, well, what about the embryo's choice? Somehow they convinced people, no, the woman's choice is more important. She should have the choice over her body. And of course, they demonize the opponents. That's a whole other story. They kind of took advantage of the elderly persona of the Catholic cardinals in North America. They became demonized against the choice of a woman's choice. But this is very, very popular today. People don't like to be told what to do. They like to think they have choices. I went to a seminar a few years ago about First Amendment rights in Colorado with Mukunda Maharaj, and there were people there, from big people from the press, like the publishers of Time Magazine and very big people, a conference of about 300 people. And one of the persons there was the public relations person for Philip Morris Company, whose public relations, as we all know, most of us, became so bad, they actually had to change their name. It's kind of like the skunk stunk so badly, they had to like lock it up and reinvent their company, because they had such a bad reputation, because everybody knew what these cigarette companies, their advertising, they were lying with their advertising for 20 years, they were convincing everybody, including kids, to smoke cigarettes. They've been fighting the cases in court. There, you know, there's like the conception that these are nasty people. But he stood up, this man stood up and made this big argument about how they should have the right, they need to have the right, it's the essential American principle that we ought to be able to compete for people's minds and their choices in life, because it's choice. Forget the fact cigarettes cause cancer and do so many destructive things. It's their choice. You know, and at least the American mentality is kind of like, you know, you stand up and put your hand on your heart. Yes, choice. We must have choice. That's what freedom is all about. Now, Prabhupada, it's interesting, he uses the word in the purport of the third canto, that then they become freed. So that there's that whole discussion of what does real freedom mean? But in the modern context, for most people, choice is such a popular thing. Don't tell me what to do. I want to choose. But we also live in a society where people are told, yes, you make the choice, and as you drive to work, as you try to listen to the weather, as you try to get to your office, as you get in the elevator, as you sit behind the bus, as you get on the bus, as you ride in the taxi, as you turn on the television, we will bombard you 6 or 8 minutes out of every 30 and tell you what that choice should be. Not only that, we're going to find the prettiest, richest, most famous people and make them more pretty, more famous, and more rich to convince them that they'll tell you, you should do this. In fact, we're going to hire people that never ever used our product in history. And they're going to stand on TV and tell you, this is the best thing that ever came along. I remember a few years ago, there was something where, maybe some of you remember, it was in some one of the ISKCON publications, they talked about how the meat industry had hired, you know, some, they used to call them starlets, or, you know, some Hollywood lady, and I think a man too, about how, you know, talking about how, you know, they supported eating meat or something. But then in some other magazine later on, they talked about actually they were almost vegetarian because they knew it was much healthier for them, and they fired them. Because they were going on their ads saying about, you know, you should eat these horrible things. But then in their private life, they weren't doing that. But that's the power of how much energy goes into trying to influence people. And now, you know, we're in the middle of the society's wrapped up in this presidential campaign. And they're all talking about how they're breaking every record in past presidential campaigns. Are they breaking records with philosophical concepts? No. Are they breaking records with new concepts of leadership? Not necessarily. Are the debates really a whole lot different than they've been in the past? No. What are they really breaking the records on? Anybody know? More money than ever has been spent before. They're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, it's like they're spending, before the election officially begins, they've spent more than they've ever done for the whole thing in the past. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Why? To buy television time, to buy billboards, to try to affect people's minds so that they'll make specific choices. So today people, they're bombarded with different advertising and books and in school. Just like big debate now, I don't know what's happening with it right now, but in recent months, over the last few years, Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all these different companies, in order to help make money, you're in education, Tom, or I don't know what they have in the charter school, they all fill the schools with their vending machines. So, because they realize if you start a kid thinking, I like Pepsi when he's six, you know, that represents $75,000 worth of sale of Pepsi by the time he dies at 96. So they got to get him early. So they fill the schools with Pepsi, the big vending machines, and you know, I can remember when I was younger and you'd go to vending machines and you went up and you looked and there was a little thing that, you know, you had to decide, do I want a Coke or do I want a Pepsi? These days, you can drive by a vending machine from the street, you can see Pepsi-Cola, isn't it? Why? Because they're trying to affect the way people think. And they're working, they start with little kids. So it's a big struggle because then they realize all these kids, they don't go through the lunch and eat healthier food, it may not be healthy. But they're filling up on Pepsi-Colas and the candy bars they can buy. So they're able to affect their choices. So then it's a question about, is it fair to do that or not? You know, big debate. So now they're pulling those things out of schools. But then they realize, but then we look at all the money we lose. Maybe we can't afford to do this. Well, this is a modern tabernacle. So the point is that people are able to make choices. They're capable of making choices. The sons of the demons here, by the influence of Prahlad Maharaj, they made choices. They made the right choice. And that as followers of Prahlad Maharaj, we have to see the world is, especially modern times, is a huge competition for the hearts and souls of the people. That's really what's going on out there. Pepsi is fighting for the hearts of the people against Coca-Cola. Remember a few years ago when they first brought Pepsi and Coke into India? It used to be everywhere you went, you saw pictures of Ram and Krishna. All of a sudden, then it just changed. And you go and you see billboards, sometimes 100 yards long. Pepsi, 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 Pepsi. But why is that? Because it affects the way people think. So, as devotees, following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, we're actually trying to help people make informed choices. That's what we're trying to do. When we distribute a book to somebody, we're trying to give them a choice. It's like one of the few books that they'll ever come across. There's some others out there, but not a whole lot. They're going to tell them there's an option besides just seeking sense gratification. We're trying to tell them, my dear sir, excuse me, madam, this is a choice for you. It's a different option. You don't have to just go down the same path that everybody else is going. You actually have a choice. And when we go out and we perform Harinam, and people are walking by doing the same old thing, it's the same guy trying to look cool with the same girl trying to look pretty, going to the same old bar, having the same old drink, listening to the same old music that left them miserable last weekend. But they don't think there's a choice. So they're strolling along, looking good, in the hopes that if I look really good, maybe I'll find somebody even better than who I went to the bar with. Because that's what it's all about. That's their sense of choice. Find some better way to gratify my senses. But we're trying to offer people a choice. And it's a challenge, actually, because, and this is being described here, it's not just that Prahlad Maharaj was intent. My dear sons of the demons, you must take this now. That was Hiranyakashipu's style. Because if he'd done that, it wouldn't have had the effect. But it says specifically he was qualified, sincere and serious, and following in the footsteps. So for us to follow in the footsteps, to do what we are meant to do, which is to try to offer a choice. One of the things we're supposed to do, of course, we have to become Krishna conscious and we have to offer people this choice. This is our mission, is how can we effectively offer people that choice? So it's given us some insight here. We have to be qualified, we have to be sincere, we have to be serious, and then our ability to offer people a choice will have more effect. And it's challenging because it's very easy to tell people there's something better. That's easy. It's very easy to tell people you should be doing something else. It's very, very easy. We're all expert at this. I'm very expert at telling people what they do wrong. I've noticed when I hit about 12, boy, did I get good at that. Right in those teenage years, adolescence, you really become good at telling people what they do wrong. So that's quite easy to do, but all of us can remember in our own lives when we had teachers, perhaps like Sananda and, is it Sananda or Sunda? Shunda and Amarka. When we had teachers like that, or when our parents were like that and said, you must do this. Why? Because I said so. Right? And we all naturally went, oh, well then I must do it with full heart and devotion because you insisted. Nah, that's not the way, especially modern society. People don't react like that. People don't respond to that. So it's easy to tell people what to do, just like so many representatives of other religious traditions. They stand on the corner. You must do this. If you don't, you're going to hell. You know, a few people, maybe it wakes them up a little bit, but generally, it's a turnoff. It's a turnoff for people. So the easy part is to tell people what you're doing wrong, what you should do better. The hard part, and this is what's being illustrated here, the hard part is to demonstrate it or to be an example of the choice. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. Sometimes we wonder, how can we preach more? Well, it's not just how do we yell louder. My father used to, one of his little jokes, I remember he told me I was young, he said one time there was a Baptist preacher, and in his sermon he had written notes on the side, and halfway down he had written, weak point, yell loudly. So increasing the tone, being more shrill in the message, doesn't necessarily increase the effectiveness. Sometimes it actually will decrease it. So for all of us, it's easy to say, you know, trying to understand Prahlad Maharaj's mood here and his effectiveness, the utility of his instructions. It's easy to say to people, if you serve Krishna, we all said this, just serve Krishna, you'll be happy. That's easy. The hard part is to serve Krishna and be happy. Really. It's easy to say to people, just serve Krishna and you'll be peaceful. That's very easy to do. Anybody, let's all say it. Serve Krishna and you'll be peaceful. Everybody say it. Serve Krishna and you'll be peaceful. That's easy. Okay, now everybody be peaceful. That's harder. Or we can say, just serve Krishna and you'll be pure. But it's harder to serve Krishna and be pure. That's the hard part. But to be effective, like Prahlad Maharaj, this is where my point, this challenge comes in. We have to make those words not just words, they have to become real. They have to become reality. And when they do so, then we actually become genuine servants of our spiritual masters. We all have the parampara are all our spiritual masters, then we become genuine servants of our spiritual masters, because then we become what they actually want us to be, which is we become acharyas, little acharyas, in that we teach by example. And that's what's really hard. And that's actually the hardest part. Of course, it doesn't mean that we should say, well, until I'm really, really pure, I can't speak. Until I'm really, really happy, how dare I say you can become happy? Or until I'm pure, I can't challenge people to become pure. Not that. Wherever we are, Prabhupada often talk like that. Little children can even inspire people to be Krishna conscious. Little children can even teach and preach and say things to people. But to really have an effect upon people's hearts, just like here, Prahlad Maharaj changed their hearts. Lord Kapiladeva is talking about by association, we can change people's hearts. And he goes so far as in the purport, it's a radical statement. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading Srimad Bhagavatam or any literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They can't appreciate it. To understand the activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees. So again, we can stand on the street corner. You have to seek my association. You have to come and visit our temples. You have to chant our mantra. You have to eat this food. And people are going to walk by as they do with all the Christians. Yuck. Not all the Christians, you know. The folks beating them over the head. It's not attractive. And it's interesting here. The sons of the demon appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj. Why did they appreciate those instructions? Shandanamarka instructed them, but apparently they didn't appreciate those instructions. Well, for one thing, because they weren't qualified, sincere, serious about spiritual life. Therefore, their message had impact. And we all know in our old lives, Prabhupada's personal presence for those that were active and had the opportunity for that, or the personal presence of those who have taken Prabhupada's spirit into their heart, that's the most effective thing in our hearts. I can remember myself when I was reading all kinds of different, you know, some spiritual life is starting to awaken. I was reading different books and going different places and, you know, going to Zen centers and going to church and reading different New Age texts. I wanted to believe. I really, really, really wanted to believe. But I wasn't convinced until I felt I found people that actually lived it. Because up till then, it was just theoretical. And so many of the theories competed, you know. I remember the Buddhist telling me Jesus was an enlightened person. And I thought, well, I don't know if that's it. And then the Jesus freaks told me Buddha was the devil, and I knew that wasn't it. But, you know, so they competed, and sometimes that competition turns people off. But when people actually see someone representing, manifesting spiritual life, so by Prahlad Maharaj's grace, his instructions, his example, he was serious in the fact that he cared. This is implied here. He was sincere. That meant he really wanted to help his friends. He wasn't just doing it because Narada Muni told him you should do this. He really cared. His heart had been changed and he wanted to change their hearts. So it's a wonderful instruction and example for us how we talk a lot about preaching. Prabhupada pushed us about preaching, and here he's given us a little more insight how that preaching can actually have an effect, how we can actually help people make the right choices. And people don't just make choices on the basis of what they're told. They need to be facilitated. If you just tell people once, they would choose so many things. They need to be facilitated in that choice. They need to hear on a regular basis. They need to have opportunities for seeing the benefits of that choice. So just like here in our meetings, we're discussing really the essence of our discussions. They may manifest in different ways, you know, how to have bylaws and what's the regional body and how can we have a better Sunday feast. How can we be more effective in our book distribution? All these different things. Some seem more direct preaching. Some seem, you know, you wonder how is it preaching at all in some ways. But all of it is actually meant how we can inspire people to choose Krishna. Like sometimes some of these meetings before, we kind of talked about you know, little kind of catchy phrases or how to market ourselves more. Sometimes we talk this idea of just add Krishna. That's really our message, just add Krishna. So choose Krishna. How can we help people to choose Krishna? And I was thinking, you know, visiting in Dallas, I was channeling in the hallway this morning. I was just thinking, this hallway is so nice. I just like being in the hall with all the shoes, which normally people don't like to hang out with the shoes. But it's such a nice hall, I like being in the hall. And if I lived in the neighborhood, I might like to come and visit the hall more often. And while I'm there, maybe I'll stick my head in and look at the deities, or I'll eat a little prasadam. So just the hallway enhances my wanting to be Krishna conscious. And Shesha Prabhu was talking yesterday about education and the importance of providing nice facilities for our kids. Why? So that they will be inspired to choose Krishna. Praharana Prabhu was talking a little bit in our earlier meetings about the Grahastra ministry and the Grahastra vision team and all the work that they're trying to do. Why? Because we're trying to help people create situations in their lives that make it easier for them to choose Krishna. It's not such a quick thing. It has to be cultivated. Our Sunday Feast Initiative, what are we looking at? How to make Krishna consciousness more attractive for people and how to take away their doubts. And one thing that I greatly benefited from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's association instructions is he said many times that our preaching is meant to remove the obstacles between a soul and Krishna. Everybody has different obstacles. So we're meant like a doctor. The patient comes in, the doctor is trained to try to help them, work with them to figure out what exactly is your disease. Some people need to raise their body's temperature, some people need to drop it, some people need to be cut open, some people need to be, you know, different things they do to get to take away the disease so you can come to your natural state of being healthy. So most of us here, of course, our hosts and hostesses are here. Those of us from out of town, for our meetings, we've come together for these meetings for lots of reasons, but the most important one is because we share a great responsibility to Srila Prabhupada and to Narada Muni and to Prahlad Maharaj. This is Prahlad Maharaj's movement. This is Narada Muni's movement. They're the owners of this movement. We're just little guys trying to help and hopefully not get in the way. And it's Kapila Day's movement. I mean, they're the ones really putting out. Really putting out. And they're asking us, they're giving us the opportunity, please you help carry this on. Please help people make the right choices. Please give people the options. And we need to understand that that option doesn't just mean telling people what they're supposed to do. It means exemplifying that. And in all of our management discussions, and when we talk about the initiatives, how do we make the Sunday feast better? That's to help people choose Krishna. So when they walk in the door, I can remember, I mentioned this the other day to somebody, just a little part of a memory, I don't know how it all fits in. When I first became vegetarian, my father asked me, why exactly are you doing this? And I didn't know enough. I couldn't answer him. But what the first thought came in my mind was because, well, the Hare Krishnas are vegetarians. Somehow, and I knew they had good reasons for it. So just that much I knew. So maybe like, well, I don't know why I like to go to the Krishna temple. I just like it. I like the hallway. You know, like Prabhupada said, we'd be famous for our cleanliness. Well, so are we thinking about these days? Or sometimes we tend to think, well, you know, it doesn't need to be clean because, you know, it's Krishna. And we don't need to make the feast so attractive because, you know, it's Krishna. If you don't get it, it's not my problem. It's your problem. You know, I'm giving the best thing and you don't get it. That's your problem. But that wasn't the way Prabhupada saw things. He crossed the ocean. He stood in line. He cooked the meal. He cleaned the pots. He bent over backwards in a million ways to take away the obstacles for us and all of our foolishness and ignorance and offensiveness. He made so many arrangements. So as leaders and managers and servants of Srila Prabhupada, all these different discussions, how can we make the Sunday feast better? it's directly focused on how we can help people want to choose Krishna. And whatever thing about our Sunday feast isn't first class, we got to make it first class. Because the slightest little thing that inconveniences somebody or is an obstacle for them or discourages them from coming back again, for whatever reason, we should try as best we can with our limited power to make that go away so they want to come again. Because by that association, by that hearing, by that eating prasadam again and again and again, their hearts become changed, as did these students. They were big demons. They were the sons of big demons who were the direct helpers of the biggest demon. These just weren't like ordinary Kali Yuga urchins in the street. These were big demons. But he changed them. And we're meant to change people like that. And we need to, as described, we need to, of course, continue and be serious. As Rabindra's been talking the last couple of days, serious in our own application, so our hearts become changed, and understanding that it is a process of helping people make the right choices. And that means we have to not just be concerned what's the content of the message, but how we deliver the message, how we present our temples, how our Sunday feasts are organized, how our book stands look. The books have full transcendental knowledge, but where they're placed, how high they are, whether the cover book looks attractive, all those things we have to be thinking about to help take away those obstacles and give people more of the opportunities. And this is like Prabhupada, this is like the headache of management. We'd like to just sit and chant and let people walk in the door, but that's not what Prabhupada did. He could have sat in Mayapur, he could have stayed in Vrindavan, he could have chanted and just been, as he was, totally satisfied. But he took a lot of headaches to help us. The only reason we're here is because he took on a lot of headaches. And those headaches were being worried about the details, being worried about every devotee and how they were taken care of, being worried about every single guest. Did they get prasad? Were they treated nicely? What was their experience when they came? And when mistakes were made, he was very unhappy, but he never gave up. So beautiful verse, beautiful example for us about Prahlad Maharaj, and we can all try to keep this mood in mind as we go forward today, and not just to manage, but to try to become better instruments in Prabhupada's hands within our responsibilities to help our temples and communities be better representatives of Krishna and to help make it easy for people to choose Krishna. That's our goal. Make the path as easy as possible. Take away the obstacles as much as we possibly can. So we've got just a few minutes. I'll stop there perhaps if there's a question or two. Yes, Pumi.
Thank you for the very nice class. Very lovely. Question that came to me recently was that in the light of this story, is that we see examples of success. Like we look at Srila Prabhupada, this is a success story. Or we look at Prahlad Maharaj, he was successful, even in the face of tremendous obstacles, life-threatening situations, the Lord personally appeared. What about those examples when there's not success? Two examples that were brought to my attention. One, devotees went to Vrindavan to purchase things for their temple. They had $25,000. They locked it in a safe. They were buying deities and other things. And someone even got past the security, got in, cut the safe open, pulled the safe out, took all the money while they were at the temple. These are people who are going, they're chanting Hare Krishna, practicing sadhana, they're serving Krishna directly. Another example was brought up is a young lady going to Mangalarti gets beaten up and raped. Mm-hmm. You see? She's going personally to serve the Lord. She's chanting the holy name. So the question that was brought to me is, how am I supposed to have faith when there's those examples? You see, yes, this is a good example, Prahlad Maharaj, but there's other examples also. So this was an obstacle, and I was hoping you could help us here.
I'll try to help. I don't know if I can answer, but I can. Let me take the first example first. It's an easier one. I think the immediate thing comes to my mind is, so what did they learn from that experience? They lost $25,000. What did they learn from that experience? How are they going to be more careful next time? How are they going to do better next time? How are they going to be more Krishna conscious? How are they going to realize it was the Lord's kindness on them to give them that responsibility and how they can do better? I mean, we all stub our toes and have experiences. The second one's tougher. It's very tough. Some of the really, somebody being attacked and raped, did you say?
Yes.
Problem had so many failures on the way to success.
Yeah. Mott mentioned that, Prabhupada personally had so many failures on the way to success. Prabhupada was gored by a bull. Prabhupada had his, I always get it mixed up, which translation was sold for tea? No, it was Bhagavad Gita, his personal Bhagavad Gita was sold? Bhagavatam, and then what was stolen in New York? His Bhagavad Gita translations? So sent him back, how many years did that send him back? Two heart attacks on the boat, etc. Mr.
Any time you could say it was a failure.
If you stop it, it'll be
done. If you've been gored by bulls, and why? I come to Vrindavan to surrender to Krishna, this bull gores me, you know, he quit. Or I had heart attacks, or he came to America and there's nobody coming around. And they said he was looking at the return ship.
To look at the schedule.
Yeah.
When will I go back? I want to say it on the microphone. It's a very good point. Ravinder said, if I understood you right, at any time if you quit, then it's a failure. You may have had some successes, but ultimately it's a failure. But if we don't quit, it's a success. And I think in terms of these days, sometimes we hear about rather humble devotees who were dedicated to continue their service, and sometimes they pass away. You know, they die early, get a disease, this or that. But how many devotees that knew them looked to them as a great inspiration and determination? I mean, I've had friends who've had, you know, spouses die and total surprises and all kinds of setbacks and shocks and this and that. I remember I went to a session a few years ago that Archana City organized about why bad things happen to devotees. And they went around the room and people shared some of their histories of terrible things that happened to them. And there were two women in the room that shared how their children had died. And it was really a pretty intense session. And I have one stepson. I don't have a child that I gave birth to, and I'm not a woman. I don't know how intense that emotion can be. But they all kind of talked about how they would give, the two women in particular, said they would give anything, to have their child back, anything they'd give, their own life to have their own child back. And yet they also saw how they had grown through that. One woman mentioned him, everybody in the room was crying. She said, you know, again, I would do anything to have my son back, and I also acknowledge that through this experience, I started to understand how much love Krishna must have for us. If I can have this much love for my child, who I've lost, how much love God must have for us, how much He must want to have us back. And everybody's like, wow, you know, in the midst of that terrible situation. So, I mean, those are some thoughts to it. Okay, thank you for reading. That was a very good point. I think it's an important point for us to think, too. And, you know, because sometimes we all want to quit. Maybe somebody can say if this is a legitimate story, but it was one they told me as a bhakti, inspired me for years. That Prabhupada was one time said, you know, from time to time we all may feel that we want to give up Krishna consciousness. It's too difficult, this or that. He said, but an intelligent devotee will think, but if I leave the association of devotees, where will I get prasadam? And therefore he will stay. Has anybody else ever heard that story? Was that one of those ones the bhakti leaders made up to keep you an extra few days? Anybody else ever heard that? All right, I'm going to continue having to say, I'm not sure where it's from, but it's a great story. It made a lot of sense. Okay, so we should stop. It's time for prasadam. Thank you for your question, Prabhu. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Chandra Chandik ki jai.